Greet all of you in the name of our Lord. And on last time, we were talking about the power to restore. And again, today, we remember last time we left some things unfinished. We want to address those things today with the message entitled The Power to Restore Part 2. Just was back thinking and meditating and just giving some thoughts to the word we're going to bring today. One of the restoration stories that come to mind that one of my mentors do very well is that of Tony Evans when he talks about Rocky. And many of you might be familiar with Rocky. Now, I think it's up to about Rocky 5 or 6 now. But Rocky Balboa was a prize fighter. And Rocky went through some difficult times at this stage, I think it may be 3 or 4, at this stage, Rocky had gotten to the point where he was beginning to lose a step, if you will, in his boxing career. And there was a young gun came along, I think his name was Johnny Gunn, or something like that. And he was a talker. And he talked trash, and he brought Rocky Balboa down. And matter of fact, they started fighting, as the story goes, they were fighting in the streets, not in the rain. And Johnny was beating Rocky up pretty good. And he had them beat him up in the trash cans all in the alley, and he was putting a royal whipping on Rocky. So as Rocky was down as if it was out, Rocky was there, and he began to think about when his first fight, he was almost knocked out, and I think it was, what's my man's name? Y'all know the story. The Coming to America, what's his name? Whatever his name. Apollo. Well, Apollo had him about out, and Rocky came back. Then Rocky remembered another fight, and times went on, and he got down to the place where he remembered when his old trainer named Mickey. When Rocky was down and couldn't see that he can go no further, Mickey could hear Mickey's voice in the back of his head say, "Get up! Get up, you bum! Because Mickey loves you." And then after a while, you hear something say, "Dun, dun, 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 dun." And Rocky got up and got the energy from somewhere to be able to be restored to do the things that he once could do well. How many of you are almost at that stage in life when you're just about hearing the music? Dun, 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 dun. You've been through something. You've been through a lot. I know I ain't speaking to nobody other than myself here. You've been through something and you were just about out for the count. But the music came on. Dun, 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 dun. And you're able to get up. Some of you might even hear something in your voice say, "Get up! Get up, you bum! Mickey loves you." Well, you might be saying something here like this: "Get up, because the God that you serve is coming to rescue you. He loves you just that much to help you get up." Well, the first principle we talked about last time in restoration was everything belongs to God. We talked about in Psalms 24 and 1, it talks about where the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. You remember last time? Have we mentioned all those things to understand that in order to be able to understand the ownership, you got to know who owns everything. God owns everything, saints of God. How many know that we're making a lot of fuss about stuff we just managing? It don't even belong to us. How many know our own lives, they don't even belong to us? In spite of what they bring, it's not our stuff. It belongs to God. Why? Because we're going to be here for a while and we're gone. Many people don't want to accept the fact that life is short-lived for many of us. And it's gone. So you got to learn to understand that I know who the owner is and I'm managing this life while I'm here because after a while, this life is going to be gone. It'll all be over. And the owner is still owning. We also talked about last time that we need to understand the authority of God. All authority is given to him, it says in Matthew 18. It talks about all authority was given unto him where? In heaven and in earth. All authority. Nothing goes without going on except it come through him. See, you got to understand something. The devil that we come up against us, he cannot do anything unless the Lord gives him authority. I keep reminding saints everywhere I preach and the opportunity presents itself, the devil don't have authority. He got power, but he don't have no authority. And he cannot exercise that power unless God gives him authority. You remember in the Bible where God even said himself, he said, have you ever tried my servant Job? He said, try him. He gave the devil permission to try him. Well, some of us might think even now, some of the things we're going through, that God has given authority to the enemy to try us. But we remember last time we talked about, there are different ways that we lose what we have. One way of doing that is that we give it away. God said, hey, he has a perfect plan for us. And we can walk in the abundance of God. But God says some of us have just given it away. God said we can live in good health. But some of us have given good health away. We can live in prosperity. We can have the things of life. We can live above and not beneath. Hallelujah. We don't have to walk in lack. Hallelujah. Because God has given us so much. Because through his son Jesus Christ, he has given us so much. And really what we've done, we've given up some things God has given us. The love of God loved us so much until God constantly keep giving us, and sometimes we just give it away. The praise that you have, God gave it to you. And you won't even offer it back to him, so he'll allow you to just let somebody else take your praise. Somebody else, a blessing that he has in store for you because you don't put yourself in a position to receive your blessing. How many of you know that God will give it to someone else? I wish I had a church who could understand that, how we understand the principles and the authority and the ownership. What role do believers have in restoration? We talked about what God is doing. There's some things we have to do. A familiar text that gives us a great insight to restoration. Jesus tells a story to illustrate to, among other things, how people can be restored to the right relationships with God. Some of us done gone too far out that we can't get back. You feel like you're dirt and scum and everything else and all that bad stuff has happened. You feel like you're too far out there and you need to get back with God. The subject should be that great interest of everybody in this room to understand that you can drift away from God. Don't ever feel like you have all the power and you can't drift. You can drift away from God. The Bible certainly applies to those who are Christians by showing us that the right relationship with God is applied through our relationship and staying in contact with God. People don't like to stay in contact with God. We just want God to come on our terms. Can I preach to y'all? Can I teach it plain to you? Can I help you understand that? Can I just make you feel bad about yourself for a minute? Because I do, a lot of time we just call on God when we need him. Not just depending upon who he is, but just when I need him. You know, I get messages all the time. Tell pastor to pray for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm honored to pray for people. God has called us to pray for one another. Call the deacons, call the elders of the church to pray for you. But how many know when you got a relationship for yourself? When you know how to call him yourself. When you don't have to look at your phone to find out what his number is. You have a relationship with him, and not just on this time on Sunday morning. Not when you put on your Sunday morning duds, but how many know that sometimes, even when you're in your flip-flops, even when you're in your shower shoes, even when you're in your bedroom shoe, in your house dress, y'all ain't helping me here. Somebody got to understand that my relationship with God goes beyond things that only you can see. There are things that believers need to understand that in the relationship with God, it's constantly being built. You can't throw God no curve. Then I'm gonna throw God this curve and give him a little something. Give him a little something today. That ain't the God that we serve. God knows your heart. Listen, we already say that he's owner. He's owner of everything. You don't think he owns us? He owns your mind, body, and soul. All of it belong to him. And God knows what you're thinking even before you think it. Now that sounds like it's something that many of us say, oh, man, get out of here. But you got to believe that this God that we serve, he's already predestined and understand where we're going before we even get there. Isn't it good to know that we serve a God who knows what's going to happen? I don't have to wait. God don't get surprised by nothing. When God sees things coming, when God knows of what we're going to get, he already said, I've already made preparations for you. I know those hard times was coming. I know those difficult moments was going to come. But I've already made preparations for you. I've already given you enough strength to go through that thing. Am I preaching to anybody here who understands something that even though I'm going through something, I know that the Lord is already aware of where I'm going and what I'm going. But that comes with a relationship. There used to be a man, used to work as a carpenter. And he had a partner as a carpenter. And they would be building. They built us a little tool house on one of the houses we used to live in years ago. And they were building the house. And my wife and I just sit there and kind of observe them. And the guy on the ground and the guy up building, the guy on the ground know exactly what the guy wanted next. He said, Robert, I need him. Robert already working on it. And then you know what he told us? He said, me and Robert been doing this for so long. He know what I need when I need it. Anybody know God like that? Anybody know God long enough to know that he knows what you want and when you need it? So when the time comes, you don't have to worry about where my next meal coming from. God already know I'm hungry. Lord, I need something. Y'all ain't helping me preach here. I got all these bills and I can't pay them. God know I can provide everything that I need. Hallelujah. And ain't it good to be at peace to know that when my God, because God knows, I know everything going to be all right. I know this. I know the ending before it gets there because my God already gave me victory. Hallelujah. Restoration. Getting in the right place with God. It also applies to Christians. In either case, whether you save or not save, we need to restore the right relationships with God. Somebody in this room this morning, know that you ain't walking right with the Lord. Get it right. But we're going to read you in some scripture here, and we're going to give you some illustrations of showing you how you can be restored, and there's some power in restoration. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Luke. Y'all going to preach and pray with me? Y'all sound a little dreary. Y'all ready to go home and get that nap? The weather nice for good napping weather. Somebody waiting to see the Cleveland Cavaliers. Amen. But first things first, y'all. It's preaching and praying and praising time. In the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, the 11th verse, you'll find this read. Familiar text, and I'm going to read a minute, so y'all hang in there. Then he said, a certain man had how many sons? Two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there, all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and spare. And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. Hallelujah, somebody. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to him, servants, bring out the best robe and put it on my son, on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring out the fatty calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. Hallelujah. He was lost and he's found. And they began to be merry. In this particular parable, so much going on here, but I just want to point out one spot in our next principles of restoration. The power to recognize you need to get up. It lies within the 20th verse. And he arose and came to his father. Now, many people want to think and leave in this text that God got him up. That's not what the text said. The text said the son himself got up. How many of you understand that God gives us certain things that we can do for ourselves? And he's not going to make us do nothing that we don't want to do. So the first of all, the son had to recognize my past is not who I am, and where I've been, I know I can be better than what I am. No, y'all ain't got to get happy about that, because I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that I am not what I used to be. And it wasn't all in my doing, but I recognize one thing, I'm going to get better than what I've been. If you would take this text and understand what God is showing us through this teaching, it says he made a decision to change his course of action. He was eating with swine. He could either start eating with swine or either start after a while running like snakes. Now, you missed that. The snake is about one of the lowest animals there is. He's conniving, and he runs in mud. Now, watch a snake movement. He never knows how to walk straight. Oh, God, glory be to God. He never knew how to do it right. He always got to sneak up on people. A snake. Not only does a snake sneak up on people, but a snake is designed to hurt you. He's not designed to do any good. So when he sneaks up on you, he begins to pray you out and look you over and prepare to strike. That's who robs us of our stuff in our house. A snake. Oh, glory, hallelujah. A low-down, dirty snake. Snake come in to make havoc in our household. Come on, somebody. The devil has been identified as a... That's why you and your husband can't get along. There's a snake in the house. That's why your children acting a fool. There's a snake. And now he goes over here. Then he changes his mind. He come back over here. There's a snake in the house. That's why people can't get along in the church. Come on here, somebody. There's a snake roaming from the trustee minister to the deacon. There's a snake. I want to get on the pulpit. I want to impact. No, I want to get you. Snakes. But how many of us realize that we're tired of being like a snake? I want to stand upright. Something a snake, first original in his original state, that's how he was. How many of you realize that a snake didn't crawl, but a snake was upright? But until sin came along and God had to curse the snake had to be from the dust of the ground. I don't know about you, but God didn't call us to be a snake. God didn't call me to be like that. He called me to walk upright, to treat my enemies like somebody, even when they treat me wrong. Am I preaching to anybody here? Some of us gonna understand, we used to be a snake now. You call me a snake, I'll call you a grasshopper. You call me a snake, I'll call you a dirty, low-down moccasin snake. Y'all ain't following me here. You want to cuss me? I got some words I can bring to you. But how many know that when God deliver us and stand us up straight, we don't have to use those words no more? Can I get any help in the house? Understand, help me out, brother. When you understand what a snake is, and you got to understand, I don't want to be a snake anymore. I want to walk right in the Lord. I want my enemies to understand that I love you in spite of how you treat me. Am I preaching to anybody in here? Are you tired of being like what you used to be? Are you ready to come out of that thing? You're tired of eating what the leftovers of life. God said you can have the best of the best. Noticing the text, the Father's position. Noticing the text, the Father's position. Our God knows our place, our frustrations, and our disappointment. And he sees us from a distance. Because, see, we wander away from him. He didn't wander from us. The Father was still in a fatherly position, ready to receive him. And the Bible said he's seen him far away from a distance. But, see, as the Son got closer, how many know the Father began to say, that looked like my son? How many know that some of us have gotten so far from God, we stop looking like the Lord? Oh, y'all ain't helping me here. I know many of you just like you want to think that you always look like a Christian. But there's been times that you didn't look nothing like a Christian. You ain't had no Christian walk a part of you. Matter of fact, not only was your tongue rotten, your walk was wrong. Everywhere you went was wrong. Everything you were a part of was wrong. You had to hide in the darkness to do your business. Y'all ain't helping me preach here. But once you came out of the light, you came into the light. Hallelujah. I see my son. And the Bible said that when he found his father, he laid his head on his father. Laid his head up there. And the father said, this is my son who once was lost, but he's now found. Listen to what the father do. Now, this is critical. This is critical. Critical, saints, because you got to understand, the Father didn't reminisce on what he told you like we do. You remember I tried to tell you, and you wouldn't listen. I told you, you go out there, what was going to happen? The Father just started preparing a celebration. Because my son's home. Isn't it good to know we serve a God like that? He don't take us through past stuff we've been through. God just saying, welcome home. I love you. Hallelujah. Listen at what the parable said. The parable said he bought a ring to signify that he's noble. Oh, glory be to God. Y'all missing some stuff here. They put a ring on his finger. He told his servant, said, go out there and kill not just any calf. Kill the best fatty calf. We getting ready to have a cookout. Y'all ain't following me here. You got to understand something. There was going to be a celebration because there was somebody who once was lost, but now he's found. He was all out there doing all manner of things, but the devil couldn't have him because I had enough in him to realize that you don't have to live like that. Get up. Somebody in the house this morning need to get up and say, Lord, you've been too good for me to be down here among the muck and mire. I'm going to get up and bring back to my father's house. And when I get there, I'm going to say, Father, treat me like they used to treat the others. But the Bible said, the Lord said to his son, I'm going to give you the best that I have. Isn't it all right to know that the Lord is giving us the best that he has? He sent Jesus
to die for you and I. He gave us the very best that he had. And now that I know what the Lord did for me, I don't mind letting the devil know that I'm going to give him name the glory. I'm going to give his name the honor, because he was the one who brought me out of the mess I was in. Do I have a witness here? Somebody need to say, yeah, Lord, I thank you for restoring me, bringing me back, bringing me back, bringing me up, giving me a new chance and a new opportunity. What an awesome God we serve. Hallelujah, somebody. Can't stop praising him. Can't stop thanking him. Can't stop looking to him. Because the Bible said, when I think of the goodness of what he's done for me, my soul begin to just rattle and say, Lord, I thank you. I bless your holy name. You've been mighty good. When I wasn't worth your blessing, you played me on me anyhow. When I wasn't worth doing anything good, Lord, you showered me. You surround me with your goodness. Ain't the Lord all right? Tell him thank you right now. Tell him thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah. 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 Boy, this text has so much. It didn't even talk about how disappointed the father was. He was just glad to see his son. He was glad to see him, not just to see him, but to see him come back under the covering that he's provided for him. Hallelujah. The Lord is glad to see us come back and be under the covering that he supplied. God is so awesome. Until he's such a God of love and such a God of compassion. He's a God that cares for us. He restores us the very thing that the devil tried to rob us of. In the book of, let's see, I want to make sure I get this right. In the book of Joel, it talked about what the locusts, the different kind of locusts, stole. The crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, the chewing locusts, all robbed from God's people. But the Bible said, so I will restore you the years that the locusts took from you. Somebody been sick a long time. God is saying to you this morning, I'm going to restore for your faithfulness. I'm going to restore back to you the very thing that the devil tried to rob you of. I'm going to give it back to you. God is the only one have power to give back the very thing that he's given us from the start. Joy, peace, love, and content in the name of Jesus. I realize, you ought to realize, we all should realize that God has everything and he'll disperse it as he sees please. And I just want to be in the number to have the things of God that I once had. The devil robbed me of it. I either gave it away or somebody stole it from me. And we let folks steal stuff from them. We sang a song, and I'm going to sing it a little bit. Hopefully my memory helped me keep it. This joy that I have. Come on. Y'all know it. The joy that I have, world didn't give it to me. World can't take it away. Now, come on, you got to watch yourself, because the world can take it away if we let it. The world can take it away. It don't take much sometimes for some of us to go off and lose our joy. Some people just, you got to look at, what you looking at me like that for? You know, the brothers got to think, you act like you want some of me. You know I'm packing now. Come on, I might be thin, but I'm packing. I love Sinbad. Sinbad, my comedian. Sinbad said that he was dude walking around thinking he was bad because he was packing. He just throw his, let the man know, yo. Well, man said, yo, I'm packing. Yo. Yo, you got one, I got two. Do you love Jesus? Do you love him like he wants to be loved? God wants to love you with all him that he has to give. And the beauty in all of this, in this message, he looked beyond our faults. He looked beyond my fault. And he still see my needs. Not only does he see my needs, he make provisions and he supplies my every need. That's awesome. You ain't gonna find that in man now. But in God, he will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. If you receive that, tell God thank you. Hallelujah. Give him some glory.